Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of God's word and message. All right, good morning, church.
Good morning.
70 degrees, amen.
Amen.
That's the message. Let's go enjoy the weather. Pretty exciting to have a little warm spell after the last few weeks. We're recovering from moving. Taylor just moved. Susie and I just moved. Susie last Monday woke up and could barely get out of bed because they messed up her herniated disc. So she was gimping around the house. So I nicknamed her the Gimp for a few days as she is gimping around with her cane. And that didn't get me far, but I couldn't resist. But no, she's doing a lot better, so we're grateful for that. And grateful for the warm weather. Grateful. How about those Chiefs? Yeah. Pretty excited about that. It was a fun game. All the haters will hate. I mean, unless you live right where we're at in this part of the world, everybody hates you. So you want to know what it's like to be hated, just be a Chiefs fan, and the rest of the world pretty much dislikes you. But we're in a message series, as you can see on the screen, titled Body, Mind, and Spirit, Soul Restoration, which is our whole year message series. And the first third of the year is built on the body. And then we'll shift into the mind, and then we'll end up with the spirit. But over the past few weeks, we've explored ways in which God calls us to be faithful stewards of our entire being, right? Our body, our mind, and our spirit. And in week one, we talked about the image of God. And we discovered how our identity as God image bearers shapes our purpose, but it also shapes our calling in life. What we're supposed to be like in the world. In week two, we talked about the temple within, that this is a dwelling place for God. We learned that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, deserving intentional care and honor every aspect of our life. And last week, eating well for God's glory. And we saw how we nourish our bodies can be an act of worship. You know, when we eat, when we sleep, when we rest, all the things that we just take for granted are all a form of worship in our life, and that eating is one of those. And today we take this further as we discuss stewardship and the stewardship over your physical being, recognizing that how we care for our bodies is a reflection of our spiritual discipline, but also our commitment to God. So it's a really important, and it's an important series. And my goal is, and my hope is, after the end of this year, that we are really committed with our body, with our mind, and with our spirit to align ourselves with God's will, and to live very purposefully to follow a Jesus-looking God and live a Jesus-centered life. And we know, philosophically anyway, that it's the best way you can live. There's no better way to live than follow a Jesus-looking life, despite what the world screams, cries, and advertises. We know that it's much easier to live following his model. Doesn't mean it'll be easy. Doesn't mean it'll be fair. And we got many examples to share with you. One of the guys that I went to seminary with, him and his wife just had their first child. It only lived to be 3 months old, and the child lost its life. You can imagine the devastation in that family and how crushed they are. And the pictures he had on social media, just a beautiful young daughter, and that life is no longer with us. And it leaves a lot of questions, and why, and how come, and it's not fair, and all those things. And we're all going to have those experiences, not just in our own personal lives, but the people we love. And you've all lived long enough, most of you, to have some of those experiences. And so we have the why questions, and it creates doubts and it creates uncertainty, and those are all fair things. We started confirmation this week with some youngsters, this is our first week, and so the questions were hard to come by in the beginning, but by the time they were done, they were asking all kinds of questions. And it was great to watch that ice melt and where they got comfortable enough that this is a safe place enough that I can ask questions and I can have doubts. And they asked some great questions since we had some great conversations this morning. So I'm grateful for that. We're really going to hit 3 points. And the first point this morning is stewardship begins with ourselves. It all comes back to us. We are responsible for us. What we do, what we read, how we walk, how we talk, what we eat, how we sleep, all of it falls on our shoulders. We're responsible 100% for everything, you know, as far as it comes to us. We have choices. We have say-so. We have free will. And so it's up to us to put our will in line with God's. Our scripture focus this morning is in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 through 28. And God's really going to emphasize our role as caregivers and caretakers of all of creation. All of creation. The woods, the water, all of it. And, of course, you see this debate play out politically all the time about we're doing too much of this, we need to do that, we need to stop this, we need to start this, we need to bring this back, we need to end this. We see all those things. And we feel that tension. We have those debates. We read about it in the papers. We see it on the news. We see it in our families, in the living rooms, and the kitchen tables, and the break rooms, and all that stuff. We see all this stuff being divided and debated on what is the most practical, efficient way to do this stuff. But at the end of the day, regardless of where we land on the spectrum, it still comes down to personal responsibility. If I see a piece of trash, do I just ignore it or do I pick it up? I've always been an anti-litter guy. I'm just not a fan of littering. And I see it, you know, some of you remember that old Native American commercial many years ago where he's standing on the side of the road and a tear comes down his eye. I mean, it's a commercial. It's an image that stayed with me my whole life. But it was just somebody threw out pollution, threw out his trash right in front of him, and it just blows all around his feet and et cetera. But I have a responsibility. I can sit in judgment and say, well, somebody shouldn't have done that, or I can jump into action and just pick it up and leave the judgment to God and just do my part. And I think that's what I'm talking about, that stewardship begins with us, begins with me. Not pointing a finger, not sitting in judgment. It starts with me, and it starts with you to do the best we can to be stewards of what God's given us. God's given you your children. He's given you your grandchildren, great-grandchildren. He's given you a home. He's given you a pet. We're going to go pick our dog up. Our dog has never been to the new house. It's been gone. It probably thinks we're never coming back. You know, and that dog, the dogs are great because you could be gone 20 seconds, take the trash out and come back, and they think you've been gone for 20 years. But I guarantee this dog will jump 20 feet in the air when we show up today. And then it's going to be fun to watch her expression as she comes back to this house and investigates it. Now she's got neighbor dogs. She hadn't had neighbor dogs in a while on both sides. An old beagle on this side named Molly and three musketeers. I don't even know all their names. The old white one's named Shadow. The other two, I don't know. They've had a little bit higher fence because the one jumped the fence to chase the squirrels. So it'll be interesting to watch all that happen. But at the end of the day, we're responsible for all that. We're responsible for this dog and the care she gets. And we're stewards. You're stewards of your life. And yet we take it for granted. We tell people you need to love, and we really do sometimes a terrible job of loving ourselves, don't we? I mean, we just do. We know we're not supposed to eat the whole bag of Oreos, but we do. We know, you don't philosophically know this is not good, especially at 10 o'clock at night. But we do it anyway. And then swearing off, we're never going to do it again, and then we wake up remorseful, I'm not going to do that anymore. And then sometimes the next night we're doing it again. I mean, it's crazy how we do. But it isn't knowledge. That's our problem. Most of us know that we need to take care of ourselves, but it's easy not to do because you get caught. And we need a release. We need an escape. We need a distraction from life. And not taking care of ourselves is really easy not to do. Really easy not to do. N.T. Wright, one of my favorite theologians, and you'll hear this quote a lot during this message series. Here it is, and I quote, "What you do with your body in the present matters because God has a future in store for it," end quote. What you do with your body matters. How you treat yourself matters because it's not about you. It's about what God wants to do through you. If you're ate up with self-centeredness, you don't care about that. But if you're trying to live an other-centered life, a self-sacrificial life, a life of humility, a life of loving thy neighbor as thyself, including God's creation, if I'm really trying to live that out, then I'm sold out for that, and I take that stuff seriously. And we need help. We need accountability with each other, mentors, but just pure accountability, but also being willing to pop open the gospel and hear what it's got to say to us. And it's really clear from the beginning to the end of what our responsibility is. This is the earth. You're entrusted with it. In Iceland, I was in Iceland in 2014, I think it was. You go to this particular place in Iceland, not a very big place, only 300,000 people live in Iceland, but you go to this one particular place, and there used to be a glacier there, a huge famous glacier. I forget the name of it. It's no longer there. It's gone. And there's a plaque, a bronze plaque, and I can't remember, you can Google it, but it's basically what it says. And it's a personal note from somebody. And it basically says, there used to be a really big glacier here, and now it's gone. But I've left to go do something about it. Pretty much the message. Bringing home this point that we're making, that we've got a responsibility to what we do. And we can argue all day why that is, global warming. But the point is, the point I'm making is that there's a responsibility for each of us to take that seriously in our lives. And so it's really important. Practical application of this, what does it look like? You know, our bodies are not disposable. They are part of a divine design, a divine sign, a spirit-centered design. But the practical application, and we all know it, if I ask you, you could just raise your hand and point these out, that eating healthy, regular exercise, and rest are not just self-improvement strategies. These aren't just good goals and resolutions to have on January 1st. Again, your life is so much more than just you getting up and doing whatever it is you want to do for today. It's about being prepared to do what God's called you to do in your life. They are acts of stewardship. They honor God and God, the God who made us, the God of creation. One of the questions was today, did God make all the dinosaurs? You know, that was a great question. You know, but the mind wonders, how did all this stuff get here? It should wonder. A good illustration that was lifted up by Pam, she pointed out our illustrations, but as a gardener doesn't neglect a garden. As some of you have tried to be gardeners, you hear some people say, well, I don't have a green thumb. Or you start out great. I mean, you really go out there and you till it, or you get somebody to till it, and you do all this work, you plant all the seeds, put up the chicken wire, whatever. And you're into it for a while, man, and then it just becomes a hassle. Next thing you know, the weeds start growing. You look out there, and the weeds grow faster than the grass, and it's all heck with it. And then next thing you know, it's just a chicken wire full of weeds because you give up on it. That happens to some people. But if you neglect it, it's not going to flourish. It's not going to be what you want it to be. And you got to tend to it daily. You got to remove the weeds. You got to water it. You got to cultivate it. You got to fertilize it and make sure it gets enough sunlight for it to grow. And if you don't get the right sunlight, it won't grow. And our bodies require intentional care. And it's a very convicting message for everybody sitting here, myself included. When you write this stuff out and you go through it, it's like, man, dude, this is a huge reflection on where some of your shortcomings are at. But we're supposed to be intentional about how we care for ourselves if we expect to function and serve God. You heard me talk about last week, Lewis, African-American Lewis, B.B. King, raspy voice, sound like, you know, it's a soul. When he spoke for the soul. But he used to say it all the time, Harold, it's hard to do good when you don't feel good. Right? It's hard to do good when you don't feel good. So we're responsible for how we feel. So if we don't take care of ourselves and we don't feel like going and we don't feel like getting up and we don't have any gusto, no gas in the tank, the thing's always on E, well, I can promise you if you take a moral personal inventory, a big part of that onus lands on you. It lands on you. And so what are you going to do about it? That's the question. What am I going to do starting today to take my health a little bit more seriously, not for my own ambition, because that I'll compromise in a minute, but much bigger than that, for God's ambition, because God wants to do something powerful through me. Next point is physical discipline reflects spiritual discipline. So the two are mirror, they reflect each other big time on what they're about, right? The scriptural foundation for this is 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, and it says, and I quote, I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified, end quote. So, you can go, it's like you go to the doctor and your doctor's way overweight and he's telling you, hey man, you got to lose a few LBs. You need to start doing this and you start doing that. It's like, dude, why don't you take your own advice? Look at, you know, or you go to an attorney for estate planning who he doesn't even have a will himself. Or an insurance agent that doesn't even have, you know, you're going to go buy life insurance, and he doesn't even have life insurance, or she doesn't have life insurance. You see this kind of stuff all the time. But that's what Paul's point is like, hey, if you got to take this stuff seriously and hold yourself accountable to it. Most people aren't going to hold you accountable to it because they struggle with it themselves. You know, you might have a personal trainer, you pay somebody to help hold you accountable, but I mean, just an everyday stream of life, it's not easy. But you got to just say, you know, am I practicing what I'm preaching here? John Wesley believed in caring for the whole body, the whole person, the body and the soul and the mind. And he saw exercise, he saw rest and diet as critical components of a faithful life. And I wouldn't even like the word diet so much as nutrition. A spiritually responsible way to eat. That your body makeup is only so many calories per day. You know, and you can get to the extremes, the carnivore diet or the Mediterranean diet or the cabbage soup diet, as we talked about last week, or some of all, I'm no sugar diet or all these things. And, you know, I mean, how much success have you really had with that for any real length of time before you just burn out? And you're like, I'm just done. I'm going to Emo's, you know. I'm just done. You're just fried. I just want some Emo's. I just want something. But I think you can have all that stuff if you just do it within the right amount. And that's the hard part, because we're so accustomed to more and how emotionally we do eat in our lives. And that's the part we don't really see, but we do. We're emotional eaters. It's like somebody goes out and abuses booze or drugs. We abuse food all the time because we just need a release. We need a distraction. And food's easy because you got to have food to survive. And we all like to eat. At least I do. So what's the application? Is developing consistency, I guess, is the word, in caring for ourselves, right? To care for our physical health, it helps us cultivate a discipline in our spiritual life. So it's part of spiritual discipline when we're doing these things right, when we're eating right, we're trying to exercise, we're trying to not blow our lives up, and quitting the vices that can tear us down. It's important. You know, as a young teenager, you know, I smoked a cigarette for the first time, a cool cigarette. You know, that was cool back then, you know, the cool cigarettes. But and I gagged and I threw up and I did all that stuff. And Sephora, I'd never do it again. But I developed a 10-year nicotine habit, you know. And July 5th, 1990, I've never smoked ever since, you know. So I've got a long time to smobriety. We call it smobriety. But the first time I chewed, you know, I'm a country boy. I grew up in the Ozark Mountains. The first time I chewed, I can remember it was frozen night. It was January. It was freezing out in the frozen tundra where Taylor's going after us, to Kirksville. We were in a trailer, and all of a sudden this guy pulls out this big bag of leafy chew, starts passing around, take some of that, man. Well, you got to be cool, right? You got, yeah, I'll do some chew. Like I've been chewing my whole life. I never chewed in my life. Took a big old wad of that stuff and shoved it in my mouth and parted it in. And I didn't know you weren't supposed to drink some of it. And next thing you know, I didn't drink it, but, you know, I swallowed some of it. And, oh, man, I tell you what, by the end of the night, I'm laying out on this frozen ground. I threw up so much. And it felt so good to lay on that frozen ice. And I was out there on that ice praying, God, if you get me out of this, I will never chew again. And I held to that. I never chewed again, right? I never chewed anything ever the rest of my life. But that's my point, that we have a responsibility to cultivate good habits for ourselves. Fasting. And you can do 21-day fast. We've done that before at the beginning of the year. But the point of fasting isn't just to check a box and say I'm fasting. But it's really good at discipline, even if it's one day a week. Thursdays, I think, is a great day to fast. And when I say fast, that means you're not going to eat, but maybe you just do protein shakes for the day, and maybe a salad, and that's it. And it's not just for weight loss, but it's just a discipline that this is a day I'm going to set aside spiritually to bring my body and my mind and soul in line with God. And I'm going to try to grow. I'm going to spend more time in God's word in prayer and meditation today than I am in the cupboard, than I am at the restaurant or drive-thru. So that's the point of fasting. It's to shift our intentionality from worldly stuff to spiritual stuff. So proper rest, physical movement, spiritual practices, all well done with intentionality. I've known Michael for 40 years almost, and we both have been back and forth with this physical stuff our whole life. We're not going to talk about John because John goes to the gym and does that. But he also eats cookies and drinks Monster drinks. So just saying, I call him out right now. So, but he does take himself seriously, and he has for a long time, you know, trying to stay in shape. One, to do his job, his physical job. He's been at our house working a lot this week. But also, two, to do what we're talking about, to be in the game. Consider an athlete who trains for a marathon. And I told you about Mark last week, who ran 48 miles. But their dedication to training. I mentor a guy named Kyle who runs marathons, and he tried real hard to train and failed the first few times to get into the Boston Marathon. He finally qualified for the Chicago last year, and then that got him into the Boston. He ran the Boston Marathon last year for the first time. But this guy is committed, dude. I mean, committed. And his sister as well. She runs with him. His sister, that's him and his sister, do that together. And it's amazing. He's done triathlons. He's done all these things. But the commitment, because I hear it, I see it on a daily basis, weekly basis, the commitment he has, the dedication to that, the the diet, the endurance, it's amazing, the self-discipline it takes. But that effort is, it's a great parallel to our spiritual life. So it all connects together. The body, mind, and soul, and the spirit are all connected. And the last point is honoring God through physical stewardship. Romans 12, verse 1 says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, end quote. So that is worship, when you submit your body. Here's my body. You know, we do, here's our will. We do that all the time through, whether it's through desperation, through a real painful time in our life, a deep surrender, or just in practicality of just every day getting up and turning our will and lives over to God. But this is more. This is like, God, here's my body, and here's my mind, and here's my spirit. And the most, probably the most impactful prayer there ever is in action is two words: use me. Use me. You know, but it requires all three of those to be in sync, to be at your maximum effort. The brands, me and Mike, were huge, greatest show on turf fans. But Mike March used to have a terminology he used for the ultimate performance of the Rams at that time. He called it Max Q. And they would say, what's the focus? Our focus is Max Q. Because we get to Max Q, we're as efficient as we can be as a football team on all sides of the ball. We're trying to get to Max Q. Well, I think in order spiritually, and this is what we're talking about today, to be stewards of the physical, to be Max Q means our body, our mind, our spirit all got to be in sync, or at least striving there. And if you're not, if you're out of sync with one, it isn't like you got to go to an extreme to get it all in sync. But it's the commitment, it's the start of that, trying to bring it back in line with that. Tim Keller, one of my favorite theologians, and I quote, says, everything in life is a stewardship. Our gifts, our time, our bodies, our money, our relationships, end quote. Everything is a stewardship. I'm in charge of my relationships. Do I send cards? Do I make calls? Do I send emails? Or do I go decades without talking to people in my own corner? I mean, so it's a discipline. And as spiritual people, as people following Jesus, we're called to take the lead. You know, you're called to take the lead. Not everybody out there is doing what you're doing. Not everybody out there has got faith. Not everybody out there is living the life that you're leading. You always got to know that. And so we're called to be leaders, spiritual leaders, in the realm of the spirit, starting inside our own life, with our own life, our own bodies, our own mind, our own spirit, but also in our inner circle, starting with our own families, but it goes out from there. It's like, take it to the broader text. And if you get these circles going, they're powerful. For example, my sister, who just lost her daughter, 43, due to a heart attack. We couldn't go to the funeral because it was madness. We just moved that Saturday. The funeral was Monday. It was just not, logistically, it didn't make sense to try to pull that off. But we were able to send a flower, a plant, and send cards. And then I got it out to my circle, people to be praying for them and what was going on. And my buddy John, who's in the funeral home business, he's in the printing business for funeral homes for that, called me up and says, hey, I want to bless your family. So whatever they need. I'll print all the bulletins or whatever they want, I'll take care of it. And I'll have it there overnight. And so I said, well, let me put you two together. They wanted to do a bookmark, and then they said, hey, can you help us out with a poem for a bookmark? So I took about an hour, and I sit down, and I wrote out this poem for this bookmark, and I sent it to John, and he printed it, and they got it, and they were just blown away by that. But that's the point I'm saying, is that the lead's not just you. It's letting people that are in your circles be a part of that. That presence, and it's just powerful. It's a powerful way to live. So what's the practical application of all? Avoid harmful habits at all costs, and we're responsible for our life. So we have nobody to blame. And embrace a lifestyle of balance. It's an act of worship. So when I got to go up and try to do some exercise or try to eat responsibly, it's an act of worship. I mean, I would really try to put it in that category. And quit trying to make it a worldly thing. You know, it'll make a big difference, I think, in your success with that. But in all honesty. But taking care of ourselves enables us to serve others more effectively. And you can imagine a servant who's entrusted with caring for a valuable possession. If they neglect it, it loses its value, right? Your house, your home's a great example. If you take care of your home, if you update your home, when you go to sell it, it's going to have a lot more equity than if not. You know, some people's houses are so neglected and so beat up that it just, it, as is, best offer. Because it isn't worth much anymore because you haven't taken care of it. Some people just can, we're going to condemn it. Susie just shared with me, you might have saw this in the news. Somewhere locally, there's a mansion somewhere close. And they went in and they discovered there was 180 cats living in this mansion. 180 cats. Can you imagine that? And they said it was destroyed. They said on the market, if it was not destroyed, it'd probably bring 1.3 or higher million in value. It's worth absolutely nothing. It's condemned pretty much on the building. Tear it down. That's the point I'm making. That's the responsibility. You can either have 180 cat life or you can have $1.3 million life. What do you tell me what you want, but that's really what we're talking about here. Because if we neglect our bodies, we diminish our ability to carry out God's work thoroughly. And you know how this goes. Hey, can you join us? No, man, I'm just not feeling it. You know, I don't have the breath, I don't have the energy, I don't have the stamina, whatever. Because you haven't been doing what it is you need to do. So what's the application? And I think, you know, the takeaways for all of us, seriously, as we walk out of here. Number one, commit to regular care. Whether through exercise, healthy eating, proper sleep, care for your bodies as an offering to God, period. Number two, find accountability. And I think this is huge. So you share the accountability, you share your goals with a community that supports both physical and spiritual growth. So it can be part of your accountability with your mentor, your sponsor, whoever you're working with. Add it into your nightly review, whatever it is you're doing, so you can share, hey, here's what I'm eating, here's where I'm at, here's what's going on. That accountability, I think, goes a long way. Recognize, number three, that our bodies are sacred. Believe it or not, I know when you look in the mirror, you're like, oh, that's sacred? But it is. It's sacred. This vessel is sacred. And it's got a purpose in its life. So we avoid destructive habits and embrace practices that strengthen it, but also help sustain it. Really important. I don't care if it's just starting going for a walk, doing something. And number four, align physical and spiritual disciplines. Consider integrating fasting, which I talked about. I wouldn't do a long extreme fast. Just start one day a week. Thursdays is a great day, I think. Rest and gratitude for physical health into your daily living. So in conclusion, living as faithful stewards, that's the message. What are you going to do starting today that's going to make a difference in how your life turns out? Well, what are you going to do today to live as a faithful steward better than you've been living up to this point? That's the marching orders when you walk out. What am I going to do starting right now, right today, this day, February 2nd, Groundhog Day? What am I going to do? And we cannot effectively steward God's world if we fail to steward ourselves. So you can't go out there and be a maximum service to other people if you can't even start with your own self. So just as a gardener tends to the gardener, we must tend to our bodies. God has given them to us as a gift. Stewardship's not about vanity or perfection. It's about honoring God with all aspects of our life. I think that's really important, because if you get caught in the world system, it's all about vanity. It's all about what do they think of me. And believe me, there's a space and time what you thought of me paralyzed. I don't live that way today. I can get caught in it if I'm not spiritually healthy, but that's not my life today. So it's important, I think, overall. So invitation. If you're sitting here, if you're listening to this message, you know, let's all of us commit to living faithful stewards. All of us, everybody sitting here. Caring for our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit and use them for what reason? To glorify God. Amen. That we may be intentional with our health so that we can be vessels for his love and for his service. So with that, I want to invite the band back up. We're going to pray, and we're going to have our last worship song. I'm going to invite you to stand. You can go ahead and stand and stretch those legs. Get a little blood pumping. Get that spirit ready to pour out those lungs. And we're going to sing an awesome song. We'll have some closing comments. And then we'll go enjoy the 70-degree weather. But there are some holy cupcakes back there. Are those for George's birthday?
Yes, they are.
George, and who made those cupcakes?
I did.
Monica made those cupcakes.
I was sitting here thinking, how am I going to invite people to have cupcakes?
Because they're made with whey protein. Yeah, a lot of whey protein in those.
So this will cause you to go for a walk after you have a cupcake.
Yeah.
Please enjoy a cupcake.
All right. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with gratitude for the gift of life and the bodies you've entrusted us with. You have created us in your image, called us to be stewards of all that you have given, and remind us that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us honor you in the way we care for ourselves, treating our bodies as vessels for your glory. Teach us discipline, not for self-glorification, but as an act of obedience and devotion to you. May our physical health reflect our spiritual commitment. And may our choices bring us closer to you, strengthen us to be mindful of our habits, intentional in our care, and faithful in our stewardship. Jesus, you walked this earth in human form, experiencing both strength and weakness, yet always honoring the Father. Help us to follow your example, living with purpose, using our energy to serve, and surrendering our lives to your will. May we live each day as a testimony to your grace, reflecting the love and discipline you call us to embody. We give you our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. Lord, may all that we do, from our work to our rest, glorify you. We trust you to guide us as we steward the lives you have given us. And in your name, your precious name, your holy name, we pray these things. And all God's people said, amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as Transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025. And we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformer4life.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances, and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life, and discovering the kingdom of God.